conversation. And why don't you tell me a little bit about your parents and how were they in, were they live all their life in Harford County?
Yes, I mean my mother and father both was born in Harford County. Now my mother died when I was 10 years old. When I was young, 10 years old, and y'all didn't know too much of me. Mm-hmm. And she worked for this family of people up in Abney named Pomeroy's, you know. She cooked for them up there. My father, he worked on the Vaughan High Railroad later years, but before that he worked on Smith's farm up there. Only had farm up there, you know. Mm-hmm. And they are residents of this county. And my mother, see, she was 49 years old when I was born.
Oh.
And she died when she was 59, and then that was... I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and she went to school in the John Wesley Methodist Episcopal Church. They didn't have any schools here. The county didn't have any schools. And she went there all her school days life. And then I also started, when I started school in John Wesley Methodist Episcopal Church. And I went, and then I went there into around their 1922, and then it was a lodge called Golden Ring, Abney Golden Ring, Fountain Number 110. That was this lodge they had, and they had a hall, and then they let us use the hall because it was more convenient, economical rather, because when they had funerals, we couldn't have no school in the church. I mean. And then on weekends, we had to move all our seats back so we could have church on a Sunday. So I went in this school from that time. I went to school in this Golden Ring Fountain Number 101 Hall until 26. And then the county built the school in 26 there. The property was bought by the members and the residents of this area. And we bought the ground, then had to turn the ground over to the county. And then the county built the school. So I went to school there at 26, and I graduated in 27, out of the seventh grade. See, because they had one teacher there, and she taught from the first through the seventh. And she had quite a few children. Sometimes had many 60 children. She taught all the grades.
Hmm.
And during that time, after I graduated, they add two grades to elementary school in Harvard Grace. And so I went to school in Harvard Grace in 29, part of 29 in Harvard Grace. They also add two grades to the elementary school in Bel Air at that time, so we didn't have any high school.
Do you remember what school was like?
Oh, well,
was it one big room?
Like I say, in the church, mm-hmm. of course, naturally it was one room, but when they built the new school, as you first entered, like the vestibule, you had that there, and that was a cloakroom, like the boys' cloakroom. Then you went inside the classroom, and to your right was another small room, and that was a girls' cloakroom. And then, going on to that, they had a kitchen there. So it was two cloakrooms, the kitchen, and the classroom. Now, my recollection is right. Our school was called like a Rosenwald school. I think it was some wealthy people that also donated some money to the county for this school, because they said Rosenwald School, and I think the people were, I knew it was named Rosenwald, but I don't know exactly. I was too small to know all about the facts of who they were and how great they are. And like I'm saying that I had one teacher from the beginning to the end.
Hmm.
Yes, one teacher. I never had only one teacher. Her name was Florence Travis, and she taught me from the beginning to the end. That's as long as I was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Old Post Road, the East Cold Flesh Road, it was a dirt road then. It's a clay road. You hardly get there in winter time. And I worked on there in the grading gang in 1922. And then they had all mule teams. And they had scoops called, it was Johnson Bar scoops. They were scoops that had wheels almost as large as wagon wheels. And then this, it had a long bar on the back of it, and it was shaped something like a wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. And the back part of the scoop was sort of like the part of the wheelbarrow that went to the wheel, the front part of the, of the wheelbarrow. And you could trip it just like you trip a jack, this bar on the back, and that dropped the scoop down. Mm-hmm. And then when the scoop got full, then you pushed back on the bar, and it came up and clamped again, and then you went to the area where it was to be dumped. Mm-hmm. It took very strong men to empty, because they had to catch whatever it was like the wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. And they had two men waiting there at all times when you got there to empty. And then if any way that you were stuck, they had another team there called the snatch team. And there was three mules hooked together. And they'd hook into you and with the hook and then it's for you when you got in trouble. And then there was some rich people. They had been there, I don't know how many years before I was born. Their name was Pomeroy. They were very rich. They had stage coaches and all that and so forth. And they had a barn up there. And they had, of course, stables too. And they used that. They wasn't living there. Then they had moved away and was setting the island. And somehow or another, they rented that for a livery stable, like. And we kept the mules up there. Now, all of them wasn't in those stalls. Some of them were just in the sheds where they kept the wagon. They just put rings and they'd hook them there. There was no partition between them. Mm-hmm. And we had to go up there and get our team out and have it out on the road by 6 o'clock. And then we worked from 6 to 6 and then unhooked and carried them back to the stables. And they paid $1.50 a day for those 12 hours they work out there. And they had a stable boss up there, and his name, he was a black fellow, his name was Clarence Frisbee. He was in charge of the stable. You see, at the horses just kept, mules really, kept clean and all. And then Mr. Roy James, and he lived in the area somewhere around between Aberdeen and Havergrace, the teams came from him, and all with mules. Mm. Now, during that time, I was, see, you didn't do too much of an area, and this is just the grading part. I mean, it's a very small piece you do, and then otherwise, it's practically dated in the summertime before they started then. Not like now, they didn't have equipment, they could start any time.
Must have been awfully hard work.
It was hard work, and it was very hard work. And so, and on now, like on Sundays, and that $9 we got paid a week was $1.50 a day. That was for 6 days, and we worked from 6 to 6. And then on Sundays, it was a pleasure for us, just like going to a ball game. We went up there Sunday and took all the teams out and watered them. That was free of charge. and it was helping them also, you know, a little pleasure for us, see. So I didn't have to pay anything on the Sundays because we used to bring a band to Bonham's Run, from Abner down to Bonham's Run and water them in the creek and came back. And the boss there, he was laughing along like us because he was happy that we was doing it. And we was happy because they let us do it.
Now, were there automobiles around as you were growing up, or?
Well, it was they had a few of their rich people had a few and I was a rich people family named Williams. They had and the Kirklands, there's people like that had automobiles, but no one else, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, now around, did you live around here as you were growing up?
Yeah, I lived in right in Abingdon. That's where all this happened, in Abingdon. Mm-hmm. And so I lived here. In fact, I was born in Abingdon, and I lived here during that time. Mm-hmm. That all these things happened. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't.
Do you remember much about your childhood growing up there? What did you do?
What
was like?
Well, as I first said, then I, after. Otherwise, the only work around after that by working, you know, I worked on farms around, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And most of the only thing they had there then was like hay or also corn. And then some used to put in patches of tomatoes, and I helped to sell tomatoes and helped to cut corn and get in the hay and things like that. And then I also worked at this man named Rupty there. He had to raise flowers. And we worked down there helping some flowers around there. We got 5 cents a day for that. Things are cheap then. I remember when that we only, for tennis shoes, we only paid 25 cents a pair for them. And I remember when we went to 50 cents a pair, I thought I'd never be able to get a pair then. Then, what I did coming up to, I worked down Edgewood Arsenal. I went down there and around about, just only during the summer there, forward. And I went down there around 1924. And they was building a hangar then down there. And of course it was just looked like the foundation, like, you know, ditches, dig ditches and fill in like that, clean up around there. Mm-hmm. And when I worked down there, then the salary was a little different. Mm-hmm. And when I worked down there, I think then it was paying around about 47, 50 every 2 weeks, something like the government was. And then, later on, I also worked at I worked as a waiter down at the Edgewood Arsenal at the officer's mess, City Best Side. Each one of us waiters, we had so many officers that we taken care of. I mean, otherwise, we set the tables up for so many officers. And all the tables were ours. We took care of them with us. Mm-hmm. And we cleaned our own silver and stuff and set up. And we set out cereal in the buffet stall, and they all used that from all the waiters, the officers. That each waiter had used that was for the whole entire dining room. Mm-hmm. And then what we did, we stayed there. We had room and board, uniforms, and we got $30 a month as for salary. Mm-hmm. And we only served, and otherwise the same thing that they had, each officer would have to eat. They couldn't order anything special. If we had roast beef, it was roast beef there. But I went in the mornings, they had bacon and eggs and sausages and hotcakes. Well, they could get the eggs any style they want. Mm-hmm. But that's all we had, and that's all we could order. Mm-hmm. And we used to have to get the otherwise, the cereal. Like I said, cereal are from also fruit now. We cut the cantaloupes if they had them and fixed them for each, just for the officers that we were serving. Mm-hmm. And,
then what year was this?
Well, then that was that was later on. Then I worked down there in the early part of the 30s, and then down there. Mm-hmm. And what we served, we didn't only serve one branch of service. We see a lot, like the Navy may come into school, City Best School, the school they come in to, and the And when they might come for 2 weeks training or something, or 3 weeks training. Mm-hmm. And when they leave, maybe they're always commissioned officers, maybe a army officer. And then after that, they also had the FBI's. They came in too. And they learned all about this chemistry and stuff. And now some of the officers go out in this field there, and somehow or another they use gas out there before they put on the gas mask and see how much gas they could stand before they were taken. Put the mask on, because some of the men came in at nighttime, the officers, and it looked so bad, you wouldn't know whether they're officers by going through that training. You know, it looked like someone had gone in bad health, I mean. And there's something, what the training, well, I know, anyhow, they went out in this place and gas, something put out there, and I guess it was a type of gas that maybe it wouldn't kill you, but I guess it made you all sick, I mean. Because then I understood that they had to take so much of it before they used masses and things like that, you know. And then later on, then I know when I rode the train to school. I used to have to walk over to Sewell Station, being a railroad. And the train left about 7:30 in the morning. And my father worked on the railroad. By him working on the railroad, I could ride free. And So we walk over by the mile and a half to catch a train. Then we went to Heaven's Grace. And after we got to Heaven's Grace, there was a Beano Railroad. We were out in the suburbs of the town to Heaven's Grace. We had the school there on Revolution Street by the hospital. So we had about another mile and a half to walk after we got to the school. Mm. Yeah.
What was that ride like? Was it a bumpy road?
No, the tracks on railroad was kept much better than they are now. Mm. I mean, that was the main transportation stuff like that, and you never hear about a whole lot of wrecks and things now. Every day we turn around, it's a wreck. Mm. But no, they was kept up in first class condition. They had a lot of employees in there, and they kept everything right up to standard. You know. Mm. It was a nice ride.
Now, did you later work on the railroad?
I later worked on the railroad as a laborer, and I also was an extra gang foreman and a track foreman, and operated a lot of machines out there, and that was in 1940. And I also worked as a supervisor also. I worked in the office, and what I did, and all the foremen we had around about 26 sections of an extra gang, when they went to like a picks and so forth and all, and when they send the order and so forth, then I'd go and see, well, I had enough to give them the amount that they want. Mm-hmm. Also keep enough there in case of a wreck. Mm-hmm. When then no one, different gangs called, they wouldn't have to bring the tools with them. We had enough to supply them if it was a wreck, and I worked there.
Did you ever have any bad accidents?
Well, the only kind of accidents we ever had was like freight or something like that. When they maybe want to jump a track, some it'd be under a coal train or something like that. Mm-hmm. But nothing, no one killed, not the time I was in, anyone killed on the passenger mm-hmm. train. If you never had that, mm-hmm. it'd just be a freight maybe. You know, well, maybe sometime the hot box would be bad on or something, you know, break loose and it'd come off and it would destroy a piece of the track and it's head up, something like that. Mm-hmm. But there was no one ever killed time I was up there. Mm-hmm. And our territory was subdivision number 3. It ran from New York, Delaware to Clifton Park and Bulma, that my supervisor had. And the city had they call them subdivisions. Of course, I think on the fence they call them ridges, but on the Beano they call them subdivisions. And mm-hmm. there was another one from there to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And then they went from Bulma to Washington, like that. And they had the one saying there where we had about a 40 mile stretch in there. Mm-hmm. And each foreman that was divided into sections. Some foremen had 2.5 mile section, which that's double track, and then some had long, and that depending on what type of piece of track it was. Now some track was off a curb and bed, and they had fills on where tracks went down very often, and it took more time for the upkeep of it. Well, the foremen that had those kind of plays didn't have as large a territory as one that didn't. You know, have those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And I worked on the railroad from 1940 until 1958. Hmm. And then after that, I went into hotels in Washington, and they'd come to be a cook, and I cooked a staff hotel in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And then, 1959. I was furloughed on the river in 58. And January of 59, I went to the Board of Education in Baltimore County. I went there as a custodian, and I was there a couple of years and became the chief custodian. And I pulled 17.5 years mm. in Baltimore County. Mm-hmm. And I retired in 1976 from there. Mm. Yeah.
So you've had a variety of experience and things.
Yes, and I literally went out there in 1935 and 36 there. I was a private chauffeur in New York. I chauffeured H.B. Schwab. He had a manufacturer. He manufactured material for uniform. He supplied like Army, Navy, Marine, Police Force, and all. And he had business, like he supplied the outstanding uniform tailors in most every state in the United States, and also had in New York too, because he used to travel and catch the plane at New York Airport. They didn't have them close to Brooklyn. That was in Brooklyn, New York. And so I used to hear him catch the plane. His place was on, they call it Union Square, 14th and Broadway. That's in Manhattan, New York. and live on 115 Buckingham Road, that's in Brooklyn. That area over there is called Flatbush area. And one part of Brooklyn is called Fulton Street area, and that was Flatbush area. And it was like, it was park, it was called Prosper Park. And it was close to there. And in that area where they live at, there was nobody there, but there was rich Jews and things like that. And anyone would come into those streets. At first, the streets might be numbered, but when they got in that area where they lived, it came to be named, like Buckingham Road, Buckminster Road, and all like that. Mm-hmm. Well, no one had any business there unless they was coming there for business. Just it wasn't through a fair, and when they come, it wasn't like going through anywhere. So when they come there, they have to be coming there for some purpose. Mm. Yeah.
Well, you evidently must like living in Abington to have stayed here all.
Well, yes, I like I say, I had been away, but I came back, and, mm-hmm. and most of my time away was. I was young, but since I came back, since I started working here in 1940, I have been here ever since. Because mm-hmm. I pulled, like I said, I pulled I pulled 18 and a half for 7 years in here. And then right from there, I went to pull 17 and a half years in Vaughan down in Fulton Elementary School. That's in Vaughan County. Mm-hmm. They call it Fulton, but it's on 709 Ballet Road. That was one block on this side of Overly. Mm-hmm. It's Taylor Avenue and Ballet Road. Mm-hmm. And I pulled my whole 17 and a half years at that one school. And now I think that it has been turned over to the police department now. Mm-hmm. And they built a new school. Hmm. And the balls they had there was Stokers. They were all coal furnaces. It was Pacific, the name of the balls. And they were low pressure balls. It was, which was 15 pound pressure, which means a whole lot when you on a ball and that. But the safe operating was 6 pound pressure. What happened when the ball got as much as 6 pound on it, it automatically cut off. And then it stayed off until it got back to 4 pound and it stopped there. And they call that the safe operating point. Mm-hmm. But it could go up to 15 pound before she blew off, you mean. Mm-hmm. But it never went that high, stayed up to 6 pound. And then it called. The only way she could go that high, something happened, went wrong, and all that, you know, was there. Mm-hmm. Now, these stokers, otherwise, you felt them up, you know, with coal, mm-hmm. but they automatically fed their own sap. They took in their own water and all like that. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All you had to do was just watch the gauges and see that it was working properly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wondered if we could talk a little bit about what you thought the conditions were for a black family in Harford County growing up.
Well, when I came along, we all lived in the area I live. We all lived next door to each other, and we played together. And I went with any of the white parents out there, some out there, if they gave their child sandwich, they gave me sandwich to me. And if they had something to go out we want, we could use it. And we had something they used. Well, that's how the area we worked in. Otherwise, to me, during that time, it's better than it is now. We didn't have as many enemies. I mean, I thought we all the neighbors. I mean, we lived as one big family. I mean, that's how I found. Now, I can't say the whole entire Harford County. I'm just saying, part where I live, Abingdon, we were all very close together that way. I mean, I was walking when I went past the white lady and my younger. On a ride, I had a buggy pick up a cane now because they wasn't afraid of anyone. I mean, they felt safe in me. And that's what I meant like that. And they didn't, otherwise, I could, if I was a child, like that, they, like I said, they wouldn't give a child a sandwich like that. They'd call me in and give me one too, like that. And then that, like that, they thought it was like any more than I were. I meant I never slept in that house or nothing like that, meant, but I imagine if I was. I didn't have a place to go. I knew they would. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't see me outside. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's the part I live in. That's how we were. I mean, and all through life, we got along good together. Never had no misunderstanding. You know? And I, one thing about it, anyone there regards was what color was it? If any other child come in, well, you find, in all days, some will want to be bad or fight. They touched one of my boys, they had me touched too, so that's how we did. We looked up for each other in that area. Mm-hmm. So, I tell you, if I had to go my years again, I'd rather live back then than it is now, because you fussed it, you walked the road, the darkest night and all, and you wasn't afraid of no one doing anything to you at all. Mm-hmm. And I feel more safe.
Yeah,
that's true. And I enjoyed it. I don't have any complaints or any regrets in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By me, no race or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's where I worked through life. And I had gangs. But they send white, when you work, they always say, there's a black man, a colored man, we don't call him in. And they say, but he don't have no Persian heart, and buy no chip on it. So a man is a man, he's eyesight. And anyone that worked me, I'll tell you the same thing, that's how I was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyone was, when they wanted a job, had boss, I said, I'm not your boss. Well, they said you was, I said, I'm your friend, your timekeeper. I said, mm-hmm. I'm the one supposed to know what's to be done here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, I teach you what I'm supposed to know. And then, that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. That's what the man expected. I said, now, no one have to kill us after the year, and I'm not going to kill mine. But we don't have to kill ourselves. I say it's only one thing that will make everything happy and ease on, that's cooperation. So that's why I asked you. I'm not your boss, I'm your friend, your timekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And we cooperate together. Anything I see I can help you with, so long as it's done the way that my boss wants it, we work it out together.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect you to help me and I'll help you. Then along the line I said, sometimes people give a better idea than you ever have, well, than you're supposed to know what the job is. I said, if you wanted to see some way that would make it much easier for us to do the job, long it wouldn't cut anything away from what the supervisor wants, you tell me and I'm going to go your way. But I ain't going to take nothing away from what the man wants, but it still answers the same purpose. Then we'll do it that way. I said, that's how I do it. And I worked even nationally out the track on Earth. I was on the river, had gangs, but sometimes during wartime, had Puerto Rican, Mexicans, and I've had gangs with tags and all that. Mm-hmm. I did have Rosedale section down at Chesapeake Park, and nothing to down there, the Russians over there. And I had that territory down there, and I got on even. I got on very easy.
Mm-hmm.
And never had no trouble. And they knew I was just the way they said I was. But, I didn't carry any chips on my shoulders, and I tried all. Explain to everyone, like I says, well, it happened 300 or 400 years ago, I wasn't born. Only thing I can do is try to live now, what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the ones that will have happened that did that, they ain't here no more. These people here didn't do it. I said, and probably wouldn't do it. They ain't doing it now, so they wouldn't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're living with a different bunch of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's where I told my children to live, and that's how we live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was church a very important part of your life?
Church war. See, in fact, the only two things was in operation then that you could attend, and that was also this is the same. It was a Christian, atmosphere. Also, was an enjoyment. And you went to church, you went to school. That's only 2 or 3 years ago.
Hmm.
And the church was full then, you know. And then the activities in which you gave was in those places. So it was very good. And I lived next door to the church. I mean, I used the school church too. So I attended very often. I came within the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have a faith and belief.
Mm-hmm.
And, I knew there was someone first. And if there was first, I'd be there still here since they came without any assistance from anyone else. I don't think no one would do away with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, so I had people tell this as a joke, but I say, you know, people recently come out, and they said, I said, where? They said, monkeys. I said, is that right? Yeah, you know, I know. I said, where did the first monkey come from? He had a man in the back, who made him? So anyhow, and then they puzzled right there, but I'm very crucified, and I believe in that,
mm-hmm.
and I believe there's a God, or something like that happened. I believe he's still here,
mm-hmm.
and I think he has power to do whatever he will make to whomsoever he will make, whenever he will make. And I don't feel that some people go ask God to punish me. If someone tells you not to do something, and you do it, and don't succeed, you punish your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You didn't harm yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you like to say, you should have known better. Am I right? Mm-hmm. I think all the things that happen to you, you bring them on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you know the speed limit down at 40 miles an hour, and you go down there and run 60, and the police arrest you, the police ain't going to get nasty, you ain't nasty. You broke through. Huh? Mm-hmm. So you brought it on yourself, and that had been my belief.
Mm-hmm.
I think that anything that happens to an individual, he brings it on his own self.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been sick now the first time. And I mean, I never had a real sickness, but I was out here on my tour a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you said. It's not one of the same troubles in the universe. I should say that. But anyhow, I they found cancer spot. This would be again. So I took my treatments and all that. So the doctor said, hopefully that we can keep it there.
Depression. Did your family feel the depression? I mean, what was it like for you living around here?
Well, we're doing it the first time. No, we never. It was never that bad here. And then after President Roosevelt came, he started the CWA. And in fact, we never felt like I said that the people in those days they had their own gardens out in the counties,
mm-hmm.
and then they raised their own hogs, and they bought the barrel of flour, the barrel of meal that could make the bread and things in the winter time. And they took the fat from the hogs and then made their own lard.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did a lot of canning, vegetables and all kind of fruit and stuff like that. So they actually didn't have anything to buy,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't hard on them. The only thing they had to do was find heat, and they had just a wood stove, and you'd go in there by prop and take an old tree down, they didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have it on your own, and
mm-hmm.
so it never affected me. I mean, it might others, but I mean, it wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
And after, like I said, Roosevelt, when he started first on the government reservation, the CWA. He worked 32 hours a week in 1350. And then it wasn't a problem to get a job. He went down here and he hired anyone, you know, in regards to color of the tree. And so it never affected me. I didn't see too much difference.
Hmm.
Because, like I said, new days that maybe it wasn't too many things to do like they are now. I mean, places that didn't jump, places to go, and so forth. And the only thing you had to look out for then is for shelter, rent, and food. And it's more easy to look out for those than look out for a thousand other things, because you have to have a penny for this and a penny for that and a penny for that. Well, you only had a couple of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You could, otherwise, your money would go farther.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I'm saying, church and school was the place most of you had. And then, of course, later years, I may say that you had a movie here and there, but people were so all that, because then sometimes they'd have movies in churches. They'd be religious and pictures and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they have someone to show movies in the school or something like that. So it's always practically happening in the same areas of way you was attending, see?
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I know anything. I mean, a person, depression never affected me anyway. Anyway, in any other part of life.
Mm.
I know a lot of areas it did.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Mm-hmm. What about the world wars? Did you see very much?
Well, a world war, number one, I guess, during that time, then the women folks and mother-in-law, they used to go to the church and knit sweaters and tough mamas and all that stuff and sent to the soldiers. And by me being very small, then, you know, and a young child, mother can't hold along, me along with her. And while I was sitting there, she gave me those cotton used to pass from the staff of me. And by putting those stitches on there for me, by me doing that, I learned to knit too. If I got big, I can knit my own fast sweater. Yeah. So during that time, too, I'm going to say it there. Like I said, now I can't speak up for all areas,
uh-huh.
but everything went on very smoothly that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I have no regrets. I wouldn't want to do that over again. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't say that because things wasn't there.
Well, was Abington a very big community at one time?
And no, Abington it didn't have many people. No, that was. Now, you take for instance, they only had one country store up there, and the store sold everything in it, you know. And then when they started to pull, they had the post office, they had to write in the store, you know, a few little things there and there. And then later on, with Sunbury, his son was running the Abington post office, he started a little baker shop there, and we, you know, donuts and cakes and bun and stuff like that. And it was just one of those small places. I guess the population, maybe a couple of us wouldn't mean it didn't extend far now. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, then as you do now. Of course, when you got down there at Vanville, which was only a couple miles, that was called Vanville. Mm-hmm. And then when you got there, it's built there. So it didn't cover the more than 2 or 3 miles. And, you mm-hmm. know, and this is a small area. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I ran that area. I'm saying, like I said, they had a little farm and things like that. And then they did have, years back, they had canned houses where they canned that. And then some people worked in the canned factories and things like mm-hmm. that. So he didn't cover the territory. Now, Abington now runs up around the Yamachine in the long run. But it didn't that way. It only covered very small. And then I just don't remember the years. Mr. Tucker, he was running the store then. He went and got together and got the first farm company here. And that was maybe, I'm not going to say, but I just don't remember. Mm-hmm. And they had, I remember the first thing we got was a little Dodge. And it was otherwise, kids on the tank with a little kind of stuff next to it. No, it wasn't a large place.
Was there a lot of traffic on Old Post Road?
Now, after they, on Post Road, after they atomized, you know, and then, see, they, it was called then Route 40. Oh. Yeah, it was Route 40. It stayed Route 40 until after they built this dual highway, and then they changed and made 40 way and called it 7. But it was Route 40. And then it was a very small road, only 2 lanes. And it carried all the traffic. It carried the Greyhound bus run through there, and the short line, and all the excursion buses, and then all the traffic from the reservation and all. And then plus that, they had the racetrack and heavy race, and it carried all that traffic. And sometimes it bumped the bumper, who knows like that. And it carried a lot of traffic. Mm. And there was, like I'm saying, then the trails, and I mean, trucks and all, it carried all that. It was real heavy road. That was the main thoroughfare. Mm-hmm. And it was 40. And 40 until somewhere, had to be around in the late 30s when they got this completed. Well, maybe, I don't know exactly, it could be 36, 30, something like that. And then they changed and made that 40 and called it 7. But Old Post Road was Route 40.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe that was the time when Abington might have been making a lot of money from people stopping by to get things.
Yes, they built 2 garages. I forgot that now. Davis had a garage in Abington, and Famous Garage. So they did build 2 garages on Old Post Road again. And then they did have places of enjoyment. Like they had when the 18 men were here, had beer gardens, and had little restaurants and things, and all that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it did built that way in business, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there, they had 2 garages, the Famous Garage and the Davis Garage. And then they had, they must have a little pool right down there in Vanville. And they sold lunches in there, and they had a little pool here and there. So it did attract a lot of business on that road. Mm-hmm. And all along that road, then you see the garages and things like that.
Were there lots of big homes and big estates, big farms kinds of things around here?
Well, you take Most of all, farm was just a farm that could be taken care of by the individual itself if he had sons, mm-hmm. or else with one or two more hogs. And there wasn't any, right in the area I live in, of course, he was around Perma's and I speak with the Avenue area. Mm-hmm. The farms around there was farms that could be taken care of the owners of one or two more helps and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying, all of them, the ones that had, well, most of them didn't have anything. All of them, corn and hay and stuff like that. Then some had tomatoes or something like that, raised for the can house, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then they need help to help them set out tomatoes, and they need to help them pick tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And they had those real large wooden boxes. They had wood then, had a teeth in them, and it's made out of wood. And that was a bushel then, and you picked them in, and you got about 5 cents a bushel to pick. some of them put in maybe some, well, peas or beans or something like that, but it wasn't in those days, not in a big trucking area. Now, come back later on, maybe I know one farm where they just dump it now, Bush Valley dump. In fact, they had a few dairy around there. People had a few cows, and most all the little farmers had a few cows, and they did ship milk when the truck come along from Western Brown Dairy, and they used to pick it up, you know, and you sit down on a little platform and they pick up, well, maybe some had 10 gallons, some had 20 gallons like that. Mm-hmm. Most all the farmers did have a few little cows, you know. And back in the 30s, around 32, I got the black man named Braxton. He came and got one of the farm. Then he started trucking for my man. On this Bush Road, where they dumped at the Bush Valley. Mm-hmm. And then he used to haul stuff to my man. But before that, mostly it was just stuff raised for canned houses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, things like that.
Now, what about raising your family? Did you marry?
Yes, I was saying, I guess, like I'm saying, I have a daughter and a son. Uh-huh. And that, like I said, I mean, ask myself, I don't have a problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Was it, did they go to school and things in Abingdon?
No, yes, my son did. My daughter, she went to school in the city, and they went to the same school that I'm saying at 1C6, yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. 1C1, I'm saying, I'm getting mixed up. 1C6 was Haverbury School. This is 1C1, this is the first college school in the first year. Oh. And I think Haverbury's first year too. This is 1C1, and they all went to the same school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I said, I, and not only in that in particular, the people that live, joining us and things like that, I mean, it's showing all, they always had something to eat to me, the thing. So I just, you know, didn't see too much happening. There was 2 days, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't have no money. I mean, people didn't have much money, but they was comfortable, you know. Mm-hmm. And he didn't need much. Now, I know I had paid, say, 3 cents for a loaf of bread, and I'd pay 5 cents for a bottle of soda. I don't think I remember much to pay 2 cents for it. And things was cheap, you know. And then if you had, and then you had 10 cents, went to the store, and get some ginger snap. Stuff like that, you might have a 10 or 15 pound bag full of them. And now, of course, that much for one. So, mm-hmm. Didn't have too many all kind of cakes and things. They had maybe lemon snaps and ginger snaps and things like that. And they had a little can of that and cut with lemon sticks and all stuff like that. And you got so much for mm-hmm. your money, see. And, they, and then years ago, they had samples. And the little sample candy, the little balls of candy like beans and so forth, was larger than the one you buy now and pay 35 cents for. And the samples they give them to you, little, you know, like you see them around. Say now they have little things to get you on me. And I don't mean you got it any time you went there, but I mean, it was so many sample things. Mm-hmm. Got, and things are so cheap. I mean, I know that, I don't know what kind of they call them. I forgot what it was. I mean, they had a high heel shoe to call the shoes. You know. Then, I mean, well, then you bought the shoes. Then, I mean, they was one of the highest price things you bought. You only paid $1.90 a pair for them. So, I mean, and now you couldn't buy the strings for that. You mean for that price? And suits of clothes, you could buy suits of clothes maybe $5 or $6, something like that. So, it just wasn't, you know. You can make them the amount of money that you have. Now I'm saying that some people maybe had a real large family, maybe had a little more problem than did now. Like I said, it was I had three sisters and a brother. And I was young, so my brother died in baby, but I mean raised was three sisters and a set. We always had some neat things for something responsible, so I couldn't see any too much hardship, sir. But I realized I had great people talk. Some things were playing about how hard it was for them to make the problem. And the same thing now. It has been always good. Some people have been why. Just do the name of it, or just because about so poor you always have a chance. So I don't know, but I think people think now, well, these times decent to have bad, you know, you see on television. Uh-huh. So it maybe some of those things that they too. That's a good, but as a general rule, I don't think so. It might be somewhere here and there, you know, as an average, I don't think it was. Not as much as it is now.
Do you remember what happened to Grace, the city was like as you were going to school? Was it a very prosperous place?
Yes, on account of doing the races up there, you had a lot of hotels and things there, the Colonial Hotel, the Baby Hotel, and many places around, like everything's going down now. I don't have any room. But doing that, see, that races brought a lot of money to town. Mm-hmm. Havergrace had many places up there. Also places in Jones, you know. They always had beer gardens up there, and before the 18 men would be, I mean, it wouldn't live, but they sold it, I mean, and no one involved, so I guess they paid it off, so therefore it's going to be everybody's around, what kind of all I get, and you buy as much drink as you get now, you know, but and they would open, and I didn't see anybody doing that secret, you mean, so therefore, and they had the water wasn't there, and that was a homebrew, so they made it and all like that, so he was, a lot of things happening up there, and then they had a little park, a little baseball park out there. In fact, during that time, every little town, the village had its own baseball team. Mm-hmm. Every one of them, every little town had one. Every little town right, had a little baseball team. You know, Saturdays they had a baseball game, people go there, you know, and then one team come to this place and all like that. So, and it had that. And then have your thing, you could find more places to eat than you have. I mean, you could have a place where there's no seafood, you know, that kind of stuff like that. And now you're in hard times, but crack all the places was private owned, you know, there wasn't no company or no concern. There was plenty of everything, more of everything, and have a grace then and there is now.
Did you ever go over to Bel Air?
Bel Air?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What was it like?
Well, Bel Air was a place off to south. It wasn't as prosperous as they had a lot of stores in it. I think it was probably like Havertree's Avenue. I see the proving ground near Avenue.
Oh.
You see me? And the racetrack thing like that means Havertree's. Mm-hmm. And I think probably mostly depend on maybe the local people and maybe a few. Otherwise, when you take a place right there like the proving ground right in the middle of town, and they got all that business there, you know, and then another place had a racetrack there, they had more of everything, more restaurants, more everything, and it was more. Success.
Mm-hmm.
Was that attitude to help them take right there? Right there. And I knew right down at the Edgewood there, Lock and Bowling. because they got that traffic team coming from there. Mm-hmm. They have great expenses. Like a big city. Everything wide open. You know. Mm. But now it looks like a goose town. You know. Mm. And then see the trains are another thing about see when they then buses and trains and things were they stop in all those towns. And then we have to leave the buses. That's the stop the buses made all the stops in the town. They hit all in the town, see. Mm-hmm. So it's on in the area. Like it comes up there with hit Aberdeen and Main Freeway, because it's Route 40 going through it and have this and all like that. And that also brought more business day, you know. And, because each one of them had a bus terminal, so people come there to catch the buses and so forth, and come there to catch the train and so forth. So all that brought business to areas like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there was a little small train like that. MP around the thing, but that was no big route to me. I mean, like the Beano and Pansy thing right through. Aberdeen and Havre, that was the main highways to me. Yeah. And also the main railroads went to there, Pansy and the Beano. So they got all that to me.
Well, now I had heard someone said the B&O was so fancy. Was it?
Oh, yeah. It had better cars and coaches than the Pansy. And also had better service.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, on a train like they had porters and train. They had a larger crew. They had a larger crew as for the rental service than the Pansy did. And the coaches' service was better. The coaches were like inside. Nice place, soft coaches. Fancy, of course, it wasn't made as and wasn't as comfortable as the Beano. I know Beano had the, like we had now, say, Starman. Their glass facility was dropping in otherwise, that was sticking all, and everything was beautiful. You walk in, it's like walking into a coal mine, of course. And they had, like I said, there's so much service for the porters and everything around the train. Then we got down to the station. They had red caps and it was porters. Then they had another porter dressed in dark or something. Many porters and all. You had to come, got your bags and stuff like that. It was just like you were a king or something.
Did a lot of people use the railroad through here?
Oh yes, they did. And see, then they made so many stops. Every place had a station. You say I'm saying like Vanguard. Well, I'm saying about. All right, they left Vanville. You only come a couple miles, that was Soul Station. That was another stop. It had a lot of traffic there because they came along Bar Harbor, And then you go up another mile as far as Bell Camp. That was another stop. So every couple of miles, so the train would stop and pick up passengers.
Hmm.
It was a Plain People Road train. Well, that was the train station they had was train. And actually, you see, when they run so many trains down, it wasn't just thing one every hour, maybe two or three hours, they run regular. And then they had the old type expresses and things like that, things like that. Then that was two, they had trains that was two trains, expresses, but they had locals too. And the locals run between town. Then there's just a thing if an express was going to overtake it. They had places where they'd go inside and up in Aberdeen and stuff like that. But it was a tower. Well, they didn't go to a place where they laid in their own side. But they did have places they could, freight could pull off things like that. But all those places where the train went off, they had towers there and the operator up there switched you off and you went up the side track and if all things go by, you come on up back on the track again. They switched you off until the fast train was going through. They didn't hold the fast train for you. They've had it rain so that you get up there and get out of this way and get back on the track and didn't mess your schedule up and didn't mess theirs up. Unless something happened from a leak. Mm-hmm. And you still got to your point on time, you got this point on time.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and trains was loaded in there. It's like a army of people on the train. it was all loaded, yeah. Didn't see none running up that end with all seats and no passengers. All passengers, no seats.
Yeah. Well, now I wondered about too about buying land around here. Were you able to buy what you wanted? Was there ever a problem with that?
Well, I see what myself when I got there, it was plenty right there next door and off each other. It was plenty black people on the property. I had a guy got father born. And white and some was next door and all like that. Now I don't know how they got it, but they had it when I came here. I found it to me. Now later years I heard about it. They didn't want people in this area to and might have had it then, but I'm only kind of watch from the areas I live. We didn't afford each other. Most of the black men out here, they only throw them around. And the black people in their areas and stuff like that. So it wasn't an area I live. But there could have been areas that they did. And then like I'm saying, then those days, you didn't get as far to see what would happen 40 miles away like you do now. So you say that what was said in your own backyard. You want to know what was happening around you. And I imagine there was things maybe of that sort. I have read since then that the ground was deep and not to be so little blacks and all like that to me. But now I need to take and pinpoint what ground that it was. I couldn't say so. And then I say there's a lot of more rich people around here now that had their own cushion and show and everything else for around block that morning. They all had help and all like that. And they happily live with them, and all like that. But in a way, you take the around here, like the camera, and then people say, they call them the blue book, wasn't it? Somebody just got rich off of selling a pack of cigarettes. They had it way back, just like the Vanderbilt or something like that. People live around here had one like a whole entire family came back at it. Like the Green, the Kirkman, the Waltons up there, Jimmy Walton, they came from Europe somewhere, and we got neighbors rich when they came, and they had these things around, they had their own help and all like that. I mean, I worked with Jim Walton, and he was had four or five cars, weeks and I, when the ship had been, I worked around 2 weeks, there was a big car there, and he had the Haneses and all that stuff, and had cars there, Linktons and all that kind of stuff, and some had telephones in, and they loaned to us to go out and enjoy ourselves sometime, you know, with it like that. And there was somebody more right in this area, so we were rich people there. They all had a lot of help. I don't know any places through here that I knew. And then most of your farms around here, then, and most of them, well, now, maybe so many different ways, say, once they always say Germans, Czechs, and this and that, but they all had the same meaning, and they didn't want to farm, see. It was the Mr. Wagner, Mr. Pohulik, or something like that, and Jerry's involved. But now, since people come to so many countries, they're all different now. Remember right now? But most of them, they all call them the same. What they were, I don't know. I guess they understood each other. And they were the most of them, a lot of them had a little farm. They were some people that immigrated here. And so they had their own farm. Then there was residents that lived around. It's just old nails and things like that. They had their farm. Smiths out here, and things like that. And then on the farm, I know when I worked with Wagner and all like that, we worked on the farm. And the last time I come, they set the table up and all the help separate down in the gallery. Then, you know, you're down there, always say, you know much, you know, and say, I can't do all you have, and the more you need to much of work, you know. Then, like, you go hunting. You didn't have any problem taking time to work or stuff. Nobody didn't run you or nothing like that, you know. But people had, I get the bottom of my senses now. They wouldn't come up and shoot rabbits sitting on the back porch like it would now. I mean, when the live sheep when it's in your lap, say, or something like that. So they wouldn't go hunting. And nighttime people did, and went around, people played, and I don't hear about nobody running the wall. If there was anyone that did that, they were so far and few apart that it didn't ever reach my ears.
Hmm. Well, do you remember the big advances of integration and civil rights of the 50s and 60s? Did that have much effect on your life?
I remember, I said before, I haven't heard recently. Mm-hmm. I accept any job that was open when I went for a job.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go looking for one particular job. Anything I went for, I accepted it. I went to staff hotel for a time. I was at a glass washer. I was getting $7 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a character lady there. Her name was Mary. And she tended to silence and cut and kick and so forth, something mm-hmm. like that. And since I was familiar with that, too, by me being a waiter there, loving service, and I used to do those stuff. So I said to her, I walked in bed, Miss Mary, can I help you? She said, she was an arch lady. My God, John, she can do it. Yes, I said, I go help her. So anyhow, she said, how am I doing? She's an old lady, And I always try to let anybody help me. I shouldn't help her. Stuart came out a couple of times. And, hey, Miss Mary, how are you doing? She says, I'm doing the rest of the fucking time. I don't know what happened, Mr. Conway. He said, John, not afraid of work. He said, no, he's not. So I was there for him. He said, they made me vegetables. I said, this fixed vegetables. And I got a couple of dollars more to use the vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And later on,